This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show. Jason Cutter here, and we're going to continue our conversation that's centered around the program that I did for Mystery Shopping, where if you haven't caught the previous episodes in the series, I had a team mystery shop over 100 B2C companies, financial services, debt relief, credit repair, things in those verticals, insurance, to find out how they really work, how well they operate, what's the sales experience actually like versus probably what those companies built and versus what they think is actually happening. I wanted to dive in and see what that was like. And so part of the process was actually getting a salesperson on a phone call. Make sure to check out the previous episodes where I talked about building up to the phone call and the, let's say, the attrition in the submissions that we did and how hard it was to actually get somebody on the phone. This point here, now we're talking about the parts of the sales conversation, and this is part three of the authentic persuasion pathway formula and foundations that I have, and this is about trust. Now, when it comes to trust, one of the biggest things is you cannot ask for trust. I've talked about this a lot on this podcast and other podcasts where it's about building trust. You can't just ask for it, demand, or try to impose a sense of trust onto your prospects, if you will. A lot of salespeople do things out of order because they think their job is to create trust and create credibility, and then that's when the sale happens. And instead, you have to do the other steps. And in the previous two solo episodes in this series, I talked about building rapport and then empathy, and then that leads to a sense of trust. So when somebody knows and likes you, then they will trust you. That's a line from Bob Berg, and I think that's so true. Again, most salespeople start out the conversation with talking about themselves, talking about their company, thinking they're the hero there to save the day, and think like, if I'm so amazing and I tell you how amazing I am, that will get you to trust me. And that doesn't work in our personal lives either. Of course, there are people out there, when you meet them, they tell you about themselves and only talk about themselves and all of their bullet points and all of their highlights, and maybe the job and maybe the money and maybe the house and maybe the car and the family and the activities and the travel and the vacations and all of these things that they talk about. But does that really build trust? Do you really like them more? Do you really trust them more? Or does it seem weird? And that's what a lot of salespeople do. So in this case here, we want to do trust as the third phase. So we have rapport, empathy, building into trust, where then it's the culmination of it. But now is the time when you can talk about yourself and say, all right, so based on what you told me, let me tell you about our company. Let me tell you about what we do and why we're so good at it. And I think that's the appropriate time to do it. Because remember, we're moving someone out of their comfort zone into accepting change, which buying something new is change. And it requires that level of change and overcoming those fears of change. And so one of the big things, as I look at some of the reports that we did, is how well did people do building trust? Well, if we put it in that framework where they wait until this step, they build some kind of relationship to talk about trust, and or we look at trust being, you know, in the act, how did they do actually building it? What the stats showed from the conversations that we had is that there were some that were fives, and the majority were threes and fours. Mostly were in the three. They were average. And there were actually some twos and some ones out of a scale of five. And some of the feedback from my team was that the agent didn't focus on the area. Agent was more focused on collecting data to qualify me, and they didn't focus on building trust in any way. Now, the other part is the timing. Was it the right time for them to talk about themselves and their company in this framework? And of course, we don't know what those companies train on, but my experience is most companies don't train on that. They don't have a script around it. They just let agents do what they think they should be doing, and or they set the tone and say, all right, so here's how this works. Go ahead and just wing it. You know, tell them how amazing we are, tell them about the product, and then just move them forward and do whatever it takes in that kind of a mode. And so when it comes to the timing of it, there were some threes, there were some fours, and there were a lot more twos and ones where the timing wasn't there, where they were doing it up front. They were trying to build trust in the beginning instead of building the relationship and then leading to trust. Then one of the things that came up here in this trust step is where the salespeople, the agents that we were dealing with, where they were trying to build trust and how they were building trust. And this is some good lessons here, is many times in these conversations, because the salespeople in these companies are dealing with a consumer, they're dealing with finances and debt, and they're dealing with skepticism either around programs that they've never heard about, which a lot of people sell something that others may not have know about, and so there's a lot of education to it, or maybe you're in a sales role in an industry that has some bad actors, which most industries do, not all of them, but most, especially business to consumer. And so if there's bad actors, the problem is that consumers out there have this idea in their mind of who's out there, what kind of companies are out there. Or maybe they've spoken to somebody before you in your same industry, had a bad experience, whether they signed up or not, and now they don't trust you. And it's not really your fault. It's like any relationship, right? If someone's in a relationship and it really goes bad, like a personal romantic relationship, and it really goes bad for one reason or another, the next relationship they get into, they might be on high alert. They're looking out for that thing because they don't want to repeat the pattern because that hurt. It was not pleasant. And so they're on the watch for that. What happens a lot with sales is that you don't know this, but there's some history and some thing that happened prior to your interaction, and they don't trust you because of what happened in the past. It's not you. It's not your fault. It's something else, and it's led to this moment. And so one of the big things is when you're building trust is do it in a way where you're building actual trust. One of the things that happened repeatedly in our conversations, because these industries have so many bad actors and there's a level of education, is that many of the salespeople we dealt with were just kicking our team to external sources of trust. So, you know, the salesperson would say, all right, you want to find more information about our company, go to our website and check it out, and then you'll find more details and let us know if this is something you want to move forward with. Or when asking, you know, our agent asked a question, the salesperson's immediate response was about how great the company was, their rating on the BBB website, and to check that out. And essentially what they're doing is that salesperson is saying, I don't know how to convince you to trust me. So if you look at these external sources, hopefully that will tell you that you can trust me. And there's some validity to that. There's some effectiveness to that, but it's got to be done in the right way. If you just say, hey, you know, check out the website or check out the BBB or check out this, or you can Google this and you can find out more, then it seems like, wait, why are you pushing me over there? Why aren't you confident enough or skilled enough to help me trust you as it is, right? Like, if you don't trust me and I say, well, go talk to this person and ask them, and then that way you know that you can trust me, that seems weird. And you really don't want it to get to that point. So be mindful of that. Now, I think those resources are good. I think when it's done right, it can be very effective. When somebody has a question, an objection, or maybe some kind of concern that's around the fact that they don't trust you or there's not enough trust built, then you want to bring those in, right? And I think one of the best things you can do that I've found works very well is to do that with them, right? So it should never be, hey, go check out this website, go check out the BBB, go do this, go do that, and then let me know if you want to move forward, or let me know when I can call you back, or let me know if that helps, and then I can continue to help you. Instead, it should be like, hey, let's go through that together, right? I want to show you that. I want you to feel safe and secure about us and our process and who we are, because you don't know who I am. It's all over a phone call. We've never met. You don't know who I am. Maybe you've never heard of this type of program. So I want you to feel good and safe and feel like you can trust us and trust this process and this program in order to move forward. Now, the only way to do that and get to that point is if you've done the first two steps appropriately. When you've done the rapport step and you've done the empathy step, where you have used empathy and care when asking questions to determine what that person truly wants and needs, then now you're their guide, hopefully. And as their guide, you want them to feel like they can trust you. And you want to make it a team event. It's me and you versus whatever, right? It's not me versus you. It's not me and you, like, kind of against each other. It's not me trying to convince you. It's me and you versus the world. It's me and you versus your debt. It's me and you versus your insurance challenges or your credit or your finances or your retirement goals or, like, whatever it is, it's now me and you. And so when you do that, when you have that approach, then it's different because now, okay, so let me do this. I know you had some questions. I know you're not sure about us and you'd never heard about us. So what I want you to do is go on your computer right now while we're on the phone, and I want you to Google this, or I want you to search this, right? And I want you to pull up this, and I want to go through that with you and explain it and have you look through it and ask some questions so that you feel comfortable enough to move forward, right? If you do that in the beginning, it sounds pushy and gross. If you do it in the middle, like what I'm talking about, and it's based on the fact that you now know that you can help them and why they need your help and why they're looking to sign up for your program or buy from you, now it's as a guide. Now I'm doing it because I care about you and I want to help you. And I'm doing this for you and with you instead of to you. And when you do that, it's a totally different mode. And that's why this trust step is so important in the middle, but you have to do those other parts beforehand. If you don't do those beforehand and you jump right into trust, it seems weird. When I'm trying to convince you you should trust me with no basis of a relationship before that or no basis of why you should even care to trust me, then it seems weird. So hopefully this helps. Next one, we're going to talk about the hope step, which is a huge one, which is always so pivotal and where it comes in after trust. And then there's a fifth step after that. But so many people do the hope step incorrectly as well and don't really approach it in a way that's very effective. And I'm going to talk to you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.